Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. I'm so excited about this message, and it's only part one. And the title of it is, Where There Is Resurrection, There Is Life. Happy resurrection. Isn't that a blessing? Do you know what Christ's resurrection promised you? One very big word, life. Think about that. That would not have happened. Jesus wouldn't have rose. Christianity would have died right there. So think about that. So call a friend, tell them to turn that television on, get a pencil and paper, take some notes. I want you to do that because you can go through the week looking at those notes and it'll refresh you what you heard. The title of this message is, Where There Is Resurrection, There Is Life. That's what resurrection means, life. And the world needs life. Watch this. Be blessed now. We're going to read all four Gospels of this resurrection real quickly. Then I'm going to go to where I want to preach this morning. Matthew chapter 28 first. I'll give them a little time to find it. I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but I thought about it while I was sitting there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. How'd you like to be called the other Mary? Kind of a shot, huh? The other Mary, you know. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. He made it a pulpit to preach the good news. What's ever holding you in, it's going to blow off and roll over, sit on it, and make it a pulpit to preach the good news. I preached that probably 40 years ago. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Everybody say, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 15. The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1. We're going to read it here in the four different points of view of the resurrection. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That was a waste of money. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith to them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You should never go looking for Jesus in tombs. Some of you are going to church, and your church is a tomb. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. There's no life in it. There's nothing but religion. And religion is a garden of weeds. It's a theological wilderness. But my mama went there, and she's buried in the back. Well, dig her up, move her. And put her in a place, bless God, where there's life. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching it. I'm very strong about that. Why would you go to a dead place? That make any sense to anybody? Go with me to the book of Luke. I have to get off of that real quick because I see some people frowning. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter, let me get my hands here, chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's another powerful statement. I mean, why would you do that? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Ooh, verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. Why does the angel have to remind them of it? We should never forget the words of Jesus Christ. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So the most powerful thing you can do and hear is the Word of God. And it's more powerful than miracles, healings, even though it has the power to create miracles and heal it. It's the Word of God. It's more powerful than worship. It's more powerful than praise. Why? Because everything I just said, the Word creates it. The Word is a creator. It's a vessel that carries your destiny in it. Go with me to the book of St. John. Hallelujah. Y'all enjoying this already? So you'll know where I'm going at. St. John, chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Notice Mary Magdalene always showed up at things. I like her. She cometh early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. He stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet when he got not in, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre, seeing the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying within linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. No, Jesus was very neat. You ever notice that? How many of you get out of the bed, you never make your bed till you change the sheets? You just keep it unmade all week long. Watch this. Verse 8, they went in that other disciple which first came to the supper, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their house. Now, one of the greatest things in the world is Resurrection Day. But Jesus said something before he was resurrected to make them realize why he would be resurrected. Go with me today to the book of St. John, chapter 11. Just back up a little bit to the book of St. John, chapter 11, to another funeral. St. John, chapter 11, there's a funeral going on. Jesus couldn't go to funerals, he messed them up. One of his friends died, Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. That was his friends. And I want to read, let's just start with verse 18 of St. John chapter 11. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Maybe Martha should have done that. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I can hear Jesus' thoughts. Well, if I wasn't here, you were here. Change it. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Yet Jesus had told them to ask it, and you would receive. Seek and you shall knock, and it'll all be open to you. We see people hear things but don't hear things. Watch it. Let me go to verse 20. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Notice how positive Jesus is. He wasn't shooting dice. He said it so loud, the words turned red. Look at that. Martha said to him, now this is religion, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she made it to the last day. What's wrong with the first day? Why do you put your faith in the future when you can have it in the now? Why are so many people waiting on something to happen when they ought to believe that it's happened and now they just receive it? Because every problem you got, your answer is older than your problem. But I'm sick. by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago before you were ever born. Jesus had an answer for your sickness. My God. No, it's the last day. People are always doing that. Jesus said unto her, verse 25 is where I want to get to. I am. Now, he just say, I am. That's the name of Jehovah God. I am. And because he's I am, the resurrection, underline that in your Bible if you can, and the life. Underline that word life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked that question, believest thou this? I want to talk today on this wonderful resurrection day. On the title of this message is, where there is resurrection, there is life. See, a lot of people say they're born again, but they're walking around like zombies with no life. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. A resurrection will raise you, but life will sustain you. Amen. People may remember your resurrection, but they'll never forget your life after you've come out of that. Where is the life that we're supposed to have today? A lot of people all over the world are believing in resurrection. But where is the life that they should be living? Where is the life that should be seen? Think about that for a minute. So I want you to write this point down. Death, resurrection, and life are the most tremendous words in the human speech or in human speech because it says everything. Death, resurrection, life. The answer to death is resurrection. The answer to resurrection is life. You can be raised from the dead. There's a vast difference, you've heard me say it before, between being raised from the dead and being resurrected from the dead. When you're raised from the dead, and many people have been raised from the dead, and it's documented, but they die again. But when you resurrected from the dead, you never die again. Why don't you die again? Because life is greater than resurrection, greater than death. And Jesus is that life who lives inside of you. So let me say that again. Death, resurrection, and life are the most tremendous words in human speech because it has answers to it. It shows you what's going to happen, when, where, and how. Now, most people don't like to talk about death. Let me tell you something about that. Death is the highway. Write this down. Death is the highway or the exodus into life. It's just the door that you go through. Death is the highway or the exit into life and joy. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, you go from death to life. And notice that no one ever speaks of death anymore. Because why? Because life is now so great and so powerful that death can't even get around it. Amen. Do you see that? It's an exodus. Death is an exodus to an entrance. An entrance to eternal life. Why does the body have to die? Sin. If Adam and Eve would have sinned, we would be doing this message, not the resurrection, but we'd be preaching something in the Garden of Eden. Think about that for a minute. But watch this. It attacked itself to the body. And then the time clock started ticking on your life through your body, but all your body is an earth suit. That's why you don't look good when you dead. Don't he look good? No, he dead. Why? There's no life there. What makes the resurrection so wonderful? The life. It's the life that's in an individual that makes God who he is. Remember, death is just an exodus to an entrance. They go from death to life. So write this down. Christ was not a stream of life. He was the source of life. Christ was not a stream of life. A little trickle here. He was the literal source of life. He gives life because he possesses life. See, you can give something you possess. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded. When they're going to cut his head off because he possessed life, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. The life is in your tongue, not in your heart, not in your legs, not in your brain, in what you say. That's life. Why wouldn't you speak life? I mean, Moses tells people, and God said, I put before you life and death. Then he tells you what he would choose. Choose life. That you and your seed may live, not survive, but live. Notice life is so big, it encompasses everything. The reason why you watching me today, because I'm living. And you never know what I'm going to say again. No telling what he's going to say. So what I'm saying is, Christ was not a stream of life. He was the source of life. He gives it because he possesses it. Well, he also possesses healing because he's the healer. He possesses possessions because he's the possessor. And because he's all that, he lives inside of you. So if Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you should be a healer and a possessor. Why? Because you have the same life he has. That's why he said, say to that mountain. And he said, just stand there and look at it. Talk. Why? Your tongue. What's your tongue's going to say? Life. Think about that. I mean, I'm pretty sure when Jesus saw the widow named boy, he didn't walk up and say, boy, he look good, don't he? You ever hear people tell you at funerals? They go to the casket, and if they haven't opened the casket, they go, he looks good. It don't look good. He looked dead to me. Why? Because there's no life. So why do you freak out when you see life? How many times you want your parents or your mama, boy, I wish they would come to church, and you know, because I want them to meet Jesus. And then they go, oh, wait a minute. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, let us have a normal service. Don't let Sister So-and-so go crazy, you know. You know that flag lady that runs all over the church? Have a missed church today. Because mama going to freak out. And you know that person going, come on, and start screaming and hollering. And some just fall on the floor. Lord, let's have a dull service. Why don't you go to the funeral home? Because the church has to be life. Do you see that? You know why people call revival revival? Life. Have you ever been in a revival like this? Hello. Would you like to meet Jesus Christ as Lord? I hope you don't come up so I can get out of here a little early. That certainly isn't revival, is it? That certainly isn't life. Let me say that point again. Christ was not a stream of life. He was the source of life. He gave life because he possessed life. So when you see that, he kept telling Martha. See, there was the prelude. Martha, I am. He could have just stopped right there. I am the resurrection. And the life. And here comes that relief. I know he's going to rise in that day. Go back in the house, Martha. Cook some. Send Mary out here. You know the other one? She must have been pretty important, the other one. You notice that she only allowed them to call her the other Mary once. Women are funny about that. You notice the other three guys, Mary, Mary. Don't call me other. When we first got born again, we went to this Pentecostal church called Terrebonne Full Gospel Temple. Now, me and Kathy, we didn't know nothing about God, so we just go there. And my name is Jesse Duplantis. So I'd sit there, people said, what's your name? I said, I'm Jesse Duplantis. I says, my wife, Kathy, we're so glad you came, Brother Jesse. And Sister Jesse, we thank you for coming too. Kathy thought that was her other Mary. She said, I'm not Sister Jesse. I am Catherine Kyra Duplantis. But you can call me Kathy. Don't you ever call me Jesse. And for a while, they would say, Sister Jessie, she wouldn't even answer. She's like the other Mary. You can say it once, but you ain't gonna write it down no more.
I'll never forget that. Kathy did not like that at all. But can you imagine being one of those Marys who first witnessed Christ's resurrection? Think about that for a minute. What a wonderful day Easter is for all of us who believe. Who believe what? That Jesus rose from the dead. Why do we believe it? Because Jesus gives us life. And that more abundant, to the full, till it overflows. People all the time say, Brother Jesse, you're so full of joy all the time. Well, what it is joy and life mixed up. I like being saved. I enjoy being saved. I've seen some people that were miserably saved. I don't know why they were struggling all the time. When you understand that resurrection is life, think about what I said in the message. Christ was not a stream of life. He is the source of life. You see, he is the actual source of why it all happens. You see, and we possess that life. Christ in us, not on us, not around us, but in us, the hope of glory. Think about that. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior or a source of eternal life. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I ask you to save people that are watching. Lord, I ask you to meditate. All they got to do is, Lord, is say they repent of their sin. I ask you to forgive them and bring them into the family like you brought me into the family. Thank you for saving people today with this simple, simple prayer. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, it's just not hard to get saved. It's not hard to stay saved. Think about that for a minute. And when you understand that you just prayed that prayer, that was so simple because it was prayed by faith. And faith don't have any guesswork in it. Welcome to the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I want to show you something here. Sometimes people give Jesus their sin, but they don't give him their life. I believe you gave your life today. See, when you give Jesus your life, he becomes Lord, not just Savior. And brother, it's a journey that you'll enjoy all the days of your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment. Show you a few things that are happening around here at Jesse the Planet's Ministries. And I hope you're enjoying the program because I'm enjoying it myself. Watch this. I'll be back. Jesse the Planet's Ministries is literally circling the globe using every available voice. What would that be? That would be television, radio, printed page, internet, DVDs, CDs, books, whatever it takes to preach the gospel. Can you see it? Hey, can you see it? I can just see it. I can see the gospel going all over the world to every person. Every year, the souls adding up, people getting healed, lives being changed and delivered. Is that impossible? No. God thinks we can do that. Everything you see here at Jesse the Planet's Ministries was impossible, and everything we are going to do is impossible. But yet the Lord said, if you believe it, I'll do it. We are believing the unbelievable and receiving the impossible to simply reach people and change lives. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My April partner offer is Give God a Job. It's our theme this year. Sometimes you feel blue, you know, and I got blue on, but I like this blue. Look, you need to get this message. Give God a Job. How do I get it? You go to jdm.org and get your copy. It will help you. It'll change your life. You keep God busy, he will keep you busy. Give God a Job. Do it today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited about our April product offer. And it's very hard to get this book to stand up like this. It's called Wanting a God You Can Talk To. You know, I was Christian confirmed, a Catholic boy. And I love the Catholic people, don't misunderstand me, but they wouldn't let me talk to God. I only could talk to the priest. This book is one of my favorites. God wants to talk to you. I like this. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. Are you hearing his still small voice? This will really help you. Go to jdm.org to get your copy today. You will be blessed. Wanting a God you can talk to. Also, I have a magazine that's been ministered to people all over the world. And it's our Voice of the Covenant magazine. And it's been such a blessing. And we've been doing it since 1981. It will really minister life to you. You can sign up to receive a copy in your mailbox if you'd like to get it. Absolutely free. You can also find the online version in English and in Spanish at jdm.org. So you can get it digital or you can get a physical piece of paper, whatever you like. Hallelujah. Partners, thank you for all that you do for this ministry. Been preaching 48 years and we've never had a financial deficit. I say it all the time. I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. And what a blessing it is to trust God and to trust you. Nothing too small and nothing too big. 100% of your finance that you send to this ministry goes into world evangelism. We are totally debt-free since 1982, and we are very blessed ministry and blessed people. I want you blessed. You see, so do something today if you're not a partner. Become one. The hundredfold anointing's on my life. People say, I'm telling you, get around people that know, but I'm telling you, it will come to pass. Never let faith and time get mixed together. Time will defeat you, but faith will always bring you to the front. And I mean that sincerely. Thank you for tuning in today. And thank you, partners, for being so courteous and kind with your faithful financial support. I'll see you next week. It's Jesse the Planner saying I love you. God bless. Bye-bye. Are you ready to believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible? Because it's doable. In my new book, Believe, you will be challenged to believe the uncompromised word of God so that you can receive all that God has for your life.
Yes, it's time to unlock your faith in God's promises and believe the truth of the gospel. For your donation of $5 or more, you can receive your physical copy or digital download of Believe at jdm.org.
It's time to make your faith work.
Yes.
Order your copy today and remember to believe.
Thank God for Resurrection Day, but people ought to see the life that the resurrection cause to come. In fact, the life is what pulled the resurrection in. And Jesus, in hell, will you leave my soul in hell? No. And hell lit up like a light, partner.